Sheriff, this is no time to panic.
This is the perfect time to panic.
You gotta move.
Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. I hate it already. You know what? It sucks. Mm. It really, I can't do this right now. All I can think of is, oh my God, we haven't done this in like a month. Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. I'm Steve Benson. That's Paul Schultz. And nothing you're about to hear is true.
Finally.
It has been too goddamn long.
That's an understatement. It's been so long I've forgotten what to do, which button to push.
Push a button. You're always good at pushing buttons. Our listeners are loyal,
mm-hmm.
and they've been asking for a show.
And they've been good sports about us not being around. So I'll give them that. They've been good about it.
And we'll get to in a minute. We'll get to an explanation of what happened. But in the meantime, before we get to that, we are again. This is year four. I mean, we have 3 years under our belt.
Yes.
And we're into year four. It was 2014 when we started, and it's now 2018, which is weird to think about.
Mm-hmm.
If you're me. Now, we every year try to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've retooled, rethought, rethunk, rejiggered. You know the word jigger?
Here we go. That's how, ladies and gentlemen, is the bus.
Every time I use it, I get a little bit worried. I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, I think I'm okay. Like, I do it at work. Like, I'll say, all right, well, those dates are different than what I thought, and I thought that had to be done before that, so let me rejigger the schedule. Hang on. Okay, I'm all right. All right, so let me recombobulate the schedule, and then I don't use it the second time
because mm-hmm.
it's like jigger. Mm. Anyway, I got to look that up. Because there's a lot of words I thought were that I didn't know were racist.
Yeah.
That I used to use a lot. And jigger could be one of them. I don't know. Anyway. So we've retooled the show a number of times. And we're going to do it again.
That's right.
Why not?
Yeah.
I wish I could say that's why we took a couple of months off. But you know what? In some ways, it was forced. It wasn't planned.
Mm-mm.
But in some ways, I think it was good.
I definitely, even though, yes, it was 100% accidental, I definitely enjoyed the break because it allowed me to fall back and retool and rethink a lot of things. So,
And then, you know, we're already, we have these fresh creative ideas. So our creative juices kind of rested a little bit.
Yeah.
So today we're going to try to get to a few different things. First of all, we will explain, like I said, in a few minutes, we'll tell you guys what happened. Thank you all, by the way, for hanging on and being patient with us.
Right.
And coming to the Facebook group. Boy, that's been a good idea. Facebook group.
I think it's serving its purpose.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that. Paul's got a list my arm's length long of things to talk about, which I think include
the length of your arm,
Red Dawn, mm-hmm. the length of my arm. What else was on that list? I've already forgotten.
South Park, Black Lightning, okay. and the Justice League movie.
Ooh, Black Lightning. I can't wait to hear about that. We've talked about that. I didn't see it, but I'm going to have to watch it
yeah.
since I am what, 2 degrees removed from the creator? So.
Yeah, you are exactly 2 degrees removed.
We're also going to... I saw Star Wars. I don't know if you did.
Not yet.
But
no.
I saw Star Wars, The Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. So without giving away any spoilers, it may be short because I may not be able to say much without giving away spoilers. So we may need to wait until you see it, but we'll see if we get to it.
Yeah.
And then the story behind the Weezer tribute band that I was never in. And that has created the existential crisis for me. We'll get to that as well if we have time. So
this is gonna be a 2-hour show if it's a minute.
It's true.
If we get to all this stuff, it's a 2-hour show if it's a minute.
Well, it's already been a minute, so I guess it's gonna be 2 hours.
Well, there get yourself a drink, folks. And
do you realize everything that's happened between now and the last time we had a show?
Mm-hmm.
Christmas?
Yep.
Like actual Christmas,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
So I went to my parents for Christmas. Mm-hmm. So there's always stuff that happens there. And then we went to Northern Michigan to go skiing.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff always happens there. Well, that's about it. I guess not much has happened.
Well, you forgot New Year's.
Oh, yeah, New Year's.
The flop that it was.
The New Year's flop, yeah. I think we said goodbye to 2017 the same way we experienced 2017.
I know I did.
Just like nothing went according to plan. And we ended up doing the exact thing that we said we didn't want to do.
Yes, you did.
My lovely bride was like, there's only one thing. I mean, I don't care. She's like, we'll figure it out. We'll figure out what to do. But there's only one thing I really don't want to, like, just be at your parents' house at midnight. Like, all right, yeah, we'll figure something out, you know. And we figured out sort of at the last minute because we were talking to my niece and her partner. I'm going to start using that word. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, please write that, because I have a funny story about that. So.
The word partner.
Something tells
I'm writing.
Something tells me we're going to go on the same path with that word.
So. So my niece and her partner, we were talking to them, and he used to park cars at Four Winds.
Mm-hmm.
And he said New Year's was always off the chain,
mm-hmm.
right? And he's like, you should go there. He's like, he said, we're thinking about going there. Four Winds, as you know, is just right up the street.
Right.
And you were literally fewer than 4 miles away from us.
Right.
Well, you would have been. You were supposed to be. And we would have just swung by, picked you up, run up to Four Winds, have a good time, maybe see my niece's partner and her partner, my niece. And that would have been a good time.
Yeah, Four Winds is a trip. I like Four Winds.
None of that happened.
Nah.
Anyway, so a lot's happened. Nothing more important than the lack of a show. So how about this? How about we reveal now what exactly happened and why we haven't had a show since December?
If you've been a long-time listener of the show, you've understood all the problems Steve and I have had with the internet when we come to doing the show. I had one of the worst third-party internet providers, and I'm doing air quotes on the word provider, for the past 6 years. Well, back in October, we were supposed to get Comcast in instead, but for whatever reason, Comcast took forever to get out here. They spent a good month. They spent almost the entire month of December. They had to come in and they had to lay in all new wires and cables and everything. Well, the company we had threw a hissy fit. And on the 20th, the day we were supposed to record, they shut everybody off. They just completely dropped everything here. So we were in the dark as far as internet and cable out here, starting on the 20th.
So no TV?
No TV. No
telephone?
Well, in my case, no telephone, but a lot of people have landlines and things like that. But no TV, no cable. Essentially, no outside social media interaction was happening here.
Did your stove even work?
Well, it's, you know, it's wood. So, yeah, it worked just fine.
You probably had to, like, to flush your toilet, you probably had to get, like, a 5-gallon bucket of water.
So I went out and I got
the toilet.
I got snow, and I let it melt, and then I poured it into the toilet.
You put a bucket of snow on the grill with some charcoal on the deck.
That's right.
Poured that in the toilet.
So,
okay, kids, anybody want a bath before I flush the toilet?
That's pretty close to how it felt. It's amazing. If you voluntarily cut yourself off from social media and the internet, that's one thing. You're like, you know, you feel like this great person. It's like doing a cleanse, you know?
Yeah.
But if you're forced off of it, you feel like Tom Hanks in Castaway. I mean,
especially without any notice.
Yeah, with no notice and no. And what was so funny is a lot of the people were going into the office here at the complex and complaining. And I'm like, why? They're screwed too. They had nothing. They've got nothing. They weren't in charge of it. This company just shut us off.
Well, look, I imagine it. Like, you know, I can hold my breath
mm-hmm.
for probably 45 seconds if I concentrate,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Take a big, deep breath, hold my breath. Or if I dive into some water, I can swim pretty far underwater,
mm-hmm.
right? But if I were to choke, or if you were to throw me in some water
yeah.
and I wasn't expecting it, or if you said,
right.
you know, stop breathing now, like, just stop breathing, I can't hold my breath for very long because I didn't get ready. I didn't get situated,
mm-hmm.
you know? I imagine it being like that. Like, you didn't... Like, if they said, okay, as of midnight on December 20th,
yeah.
we will not have internet, you'd probably get all your, you know, probably download a few films, you know,
I,
to watch.
Yes, yes, I would have.
You know? Warn everybody on social media.
Yeah.
You know? Make other plans for various things. But they just kind of...
Just like that, shut us off.
Man,
and the one of the worst parts about it was, okay, Christmas rolled around, and nobody knew anything. I mean, I felt so bad for the. Okay, here's how bad it got. I felt so bad for the lady in the office that I was actually defending her. And the problem is I can't stand her. And it's like defending a certain person in power right now that we don't talk about on the show anymore.
Well, see that, but that boosts your credibility.
Yes,
because
it shows I can be objective.
Yeah, that's smart.
But
that's just smart politics, right there.
Well, okay, so we came. Okay, this was the 20th. Christmas was right around the corner. My kids opened all their Christmas presents. Every single one of them, you need to be on the internet to do anything with. It was like I gave my kid a bicycle in a blizzard. So we said I wasn't going to do this because, I mean, as you know, the readers, the listeners might not know, back around Thanksgiving, my dad had a heart attack. He's doing great now. He's 80 years old, just turned 80 today. He's doing great. I didn't want to burden. I didn't want to, like, frazzle him in any way. But I got a hold of my mom, and I'm like, you know, can we come over for a couple of days? I know Dad's in a bad way, but I want to get the kids out of the house so they can have a little bit of fun. And my mom goes, your father wouldn't even notice. he just sits in the chair and watches Family Feud and Gunsmoke. So I'm like, all right. So we went over there for a couple nights. That was kind of fun. And finally, I got the Comcast representative got a hold of me, and he's like, we can come out on the 13th. I think that's what it was, the 13th, and hook you up. And I'm like, that's great. And it was only a couple days. I'm willing to wait. They weren't going to charge me for it. They gave me a sweet deal. And I'm okay. So I go for walks around the complex, you know, for exercise and stuff. Yeah. And I'm walking around and I'm noticing that, like, Comcast, Xfinity, whatever they are, their trucks are moving in and out of the complex on like a semi-regular basis. And I'm thinking,
the hell?
Why isn't there a truck parked over there full of routers just hooking us up?
Yeah.
Well, when the guy finally came over to hook us up, I was talking to him like, well, how many of these houses you have to do today? And he's like, just this one. I'm like, what do you mean? Are you done? He goes, no, they just assign us. He goes, it's stupid. They should just have one guy here hooking you up, but they don't. And I'm like, so I'm not crazy thinking that's how it should have been done. He goes, well, yeah, that's how we do every complex, but this is just how this one worked out. It was nuts. And then finally, as soon as we got back online, it was like, well, that was, what was it, Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to do a show, but you were still up skiing. And, you know, now here we are.
So New Year's was crazy because we were going to get together. I don't think we were going to record. We might thought about it.
I had actually gone into looking to places where we could just set up and record. Because in La Porte here, the clubs, the bars in La Porte are typically empty on New Year's Eve.
Really?
We could have set up anywhere and recorded anywhere.
Why are the bars empty?
Because everybody goes to parties. And everybody goes to the casinos.
Oh.
So they're glad to have people come in.
Well, that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's good to be back. It's good to be back. I hope nobody started panicking while we were away.
I was to the point where I was going to make a show and run to the library and email it to you. I was just going to say a bunch of random shit. And then let you respond to it.
Well, you know, I did promise everyone that I would do something, but I never did. I don't keep my promises usually. Well, you know, nothing you heard is true.
That's right.
That's a funny thing too, the promise thing, because it's like a thing where we go, most of the things I tell you, I don't really mean, but if I use the word promise, then that's supposed to have a bigger meaning to it.
Yeah. Right? That's the theory.
Kind of like Jigger.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
I was on my way to work the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to Weezer. And I thought, I really like Weezer. Pretty good.
They're all right. They're pretty cool.
And I like the lead singer's voice. Mm-hmm. It sounds good to me. And I like singing along with their songs. Okay, so two things converged. A couple of days before that, I'd found this Adam Carolla fan page on Facebook, like fan group, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I joined it. And one of the things, this is clever, and we might want to consider doing this for our group. When somebody joins, you can require them to answer questions just to especially like if it's a fan group, just to confirm that they're not just like running around trying to join random groups. So it had a few questions about, like, you wouldn't know the answer unless you listen to the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that made me so the one thing it does is it prevents the random people. The other thing is it made me feel kind of, before I was ever accepted, I already felt kind of part of a group. Like, these are my people. These are questions that only we can answer.
Only we would know.
Yeah. So that was good. So I was like, right away started engaging with the page, like responding to people's shit and like trying to be funny and stuff like that. And then on my way to work, I'm listening to Weezer, singing along with Weezer. And I thought, so I get to work, sitting in my car. It's really cold. So I left the car running. So I wrote, sometimes I imagine a different kind of life, one in which I sing in a Weezer tribute band. Then I realize what a great life I have in reality and that I should not linger on abandoned dreams. Then I realized that maybe it isn't too late. Maybe I can be the husband my wife deserves and the father my children need and still sing in a Weezer tribute band. Anyway, I should get back to work. So I posted that in the Adam Carolla group. And then I also posted it in our group, of course.
Yes, with the accompaniment of...
The truth is, I don't stand a chance. It's something that you're born into, and I just don't belong. Which I found when I was looking for it, because I thought, well, I got to put a picture, a Weezer right. picture with it, right? And that's just a lyric, one of the lyrics. So I posted it to the Adam Carolla group, right? Mm-hmm. And a few people liked it. A few people like had okay things to say about it. But for the most part, it was... Why are you posting that? What does that have to do with the show? It's supposed to be stuff related to the show. And people are like, and then other people are going, like, maybe you should call a suicide hotline instead of posting to Facebook groups, you know? And it went on and on until I was like, look, you know, Adam Carolla, all the time, he talks about, we get too much follow your dreams talk in this society.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We're always telling people, follow your dreams, do what you love, and you'll never work a day in your life. That rarely works out.
And when you do, you work every goddamn day of your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and most people end up doing something they don't hate.
Mm-hmm.
They might hate aspects of it. They probably do, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's good and bad in everything.
Yeah. And if you look at the, here's one of the great things about studying history. And I'm now convinced that to be a decent human being, you have to understand something about like history. And I don't mean the dates and who was king and for how long and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how did people live? Right.
Right. Right.
Because
important stuff.
We are currently in a period of human history that is pretty unique. You know, throughout the time that humans have been on this earth. And mm-hmm. It is that we even have the luxury of saying things like, you should follow your dreams. If you were in Rome in like 150 BC and said something like, you should follow your dreams.
You don't even got to go that far back. True. If you were in England in the Middle Ages, you were fucked. Unless you were born into royalty... You were born in the servitude, and there was no following your dreams if you were born in the servitude.
Unless your dream was to shovel muck all day and get beat by somebody.
Filth over here. Let's go over here.
Look, yeah. Help, help. I'm being repressed. Throughout most of human history, the idea has been you got a family, you fall in love, you know, you fall in love, hope, maybe. If not, then, you know, it's whatever, marriage and convenience. You have a family. You try to feed that family. You try to keep them from being kidnapped or killed, which, you know, there's a small chance you'll be successful at that. Most of them will probably die of dysentery or something.
Yeah, when diarrhea could kill you.
And you, yeah. And you eke out a living, right? Your dream is to, you know, live to the ripe old age of 30.
Mm-hmm.
So all of this talk of follow your dreams is just, it keeps people from actually being happy because they think all their life, they're sitting there thinking what could have been, what should have been. And everybody's mm-hmm. saying that I should be doing what I love, but I don't love what I'm doing. So, you know, and it just creates this anxiety and stuff. Well, Carolla talks about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of thought it was appropriate. I didn't call them douchebags, but I almost did. But somebody else who kind of got the joke, they're like, what I want to know is, what are you going to call it? What are you going to call this band? And like, all the names people were coming up with for the tribute band were lame.
Yeah.
So, of course, I had to come up with the best one.
It really is.
Wheezy.
I was laughing.
And, of course, I have to come up with a parody song. And I was thinking, you know, Beverly Hills is one of my favorite Weezer songs.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be something like, to the east side, that's where I want to move. Wheezy, 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 on the east side. New York apartment in the sky. Wheezy, 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 moving on up to the east side. Where I come from isn't all that great. And Queens in a beat up flat. Every corner they were selling smack. And my neighbor's name was Archie. Oh, or it could be. Hang on. I got another one. If you want for him to clean your sweater, just tell George as he yells at Flo. We will try not to destroy your sweater. I don't know. I was playing around with some lyrics.
That reminds me, during our exile, I introduced my oldest to Tropic Thunder.
Nice.
And they got to the part where Robert Downey Jr. and the other guy were arguing, and he's like, it took a whole lot of trying just to get up that hill. That's the theme from the Jeffersons. Well, just because the theme song don't mean it ain't true. She's just dying.
Oh, man. You people need to get serious. What do you mean, you people? What do you mean, you people?
There's so... God, that effort. I haven't watched that movie in a while. There's so much in that movie that's hysterical. I want to get a Nick Nolte flamethrower gif that I'm just going to keep around for, you know, special occasions to shoot people's arguments down. Because
took a whole lot of trying just to get up that hill.
Just to get up that hill.
So that's my wheezy.
That's tribute. Great. You should go ahead and do one of those, and we'll put it in the musical intermezzo in the show.
Intermezzo. Intermezzo, is that like the Aztecs having intercourse? What is intermezzo?
This bores me. Is anyone up for a game of basketball?
Why did you say Red Dawn? I saw Red Dawn and I immediately thought of me.
Well, it's funny that it does. I mean, it is about you in a roundabout way. But once again, well, my son, he's 13.
Okay.
And I'm introducing him to the movies that I watched as a teenager that have had like huge impacts on me. Mm-hmm. And like when I went to the library, I checked out Red Dawn, and it was the super deluxe. It had all the behind the scenes stuff in it, which is, some of it is really crazy when you think about the period in which that movie was made. But we watched Red Dawn, and he fucking loved it. He was nice. Like, I mean, he was smart riveted boy. To it. And when it was all over, he's like, now I get half the jokes I see on Family Guy. Because, you know, they reference Red Dawn so much on that show. And the crazy thing about, I mean, that movie just, for what, I mean, it was a very crazy movie for its day.
Yeah.
Interesting thing about that movie is I know that's your favorite movie from the 80s, if not of all time. And over the exile, I was working on my book, which is, of course, the expansion of your short story from 30 plus years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm rereading your short story, which, by the way, that was Mrs. Vasquez's class.
Mm. Vasquez, that's right.
I read this thing, and at the end of at the end of it, she writes something to the effect of, if you want to enter this in a contest, come see me, you know, for changes and stuff like that. And I thought, in 2017, if my son wrote that story and turned that into his creative writing teacher, CPS would be knocking on my door right now. Because there's like there's blood, there's out and out, you know, carnage and killing and stuff in this story.
Good point.
And back in 1986, she's like, oh, okay, that's how it is. You know, it just goes that way.
Mm-hmm.
But the funny thing that I thought was so crazy was, I wrote the prologue to my book, and basically what I tried to do was I tried to stay as close to your story as possible to keep it in the spirit of your story. And I'll send you the chapters here pretty soon.
Okay.
What's weird is your short story came before Red Dawn by like maybe 2 years.
Mm.
Your dialogue and your short story might as well come from Red Dawn. It's so crazy.
All right. I have to confess, after all these years, the reason Red Dawn is my favorite movie of all time is I actually wrote part of it.
Oh,
like a lot of the dialogue I wrote, but I was sworn to secrecy.
You know, you must have been, because they didn't even mention that in the behind the scenes stuff. I did learn something interesting, and then we should probably go to a break about the movie. The tanks, the Russian tanks in that movie. People got to remember this was the 80s, and there was this whole weird Russia-United States relation thing going on. And so we didn't have access. You couldn't go to some lot in Hollywood and go, I need three tanks. I need three
T-72s, please.
Yes.
Well, we didn't have the internet either. So.
No, we didn't have the internet. So what they did was they found a company, like a car company or whatever, not a car company, like a special effects company. They fabricated a couple of these tanks. They were fully functional as far as they drove and the turrets turned.
Yeah.
And as they were working on them, and they were made out of metal, like aluminum and stuff like that. As they were working on these tanks, the CIA showed up. And they're like, why do you have these Russian tanks? And they're like, no. These are props. Look. And they took them on the tour of it, right?
Oh, wow.
Well, they're like, all right, fine. We'll let that go. Well, after the movie was made, the CIA showed up again and went, can we buy those tanks? Because they were using them for satellite flyovers. They'd park them out in the desert, and the satellites would fly overhead, and they could spot these... these tanks.
So they were practicing spotting these tanks. Okay.
Yep. And they were that authentic.
Wow. Well, three things. A, how have I not seen this behind the scenes documentary?
I don't know.
I want to see it.
The director, I don't know if he's still alive or not, but that guy.
Is it Netflix or what is it? What's it on?
Well, I checked it out at the library. And it was a two disc set.
Oh, I forgot you were back in the early 90s.
When I was in 1992 before Al Gore came along and helped us all out.
Was it on Betamax or VHS?
I had to lift the little flaps up and go and put it back into the machine.
Okay. So that was number one. Number two, I don't know whether to be impressed that the CIA figured out that they were making these, that they had these tanks and stuff, or
whether
I'm terrified that the CIA, like, oh yeah, can we buy those? Like, you don't have the capability of building your own, first of all. Second of all, you weren't able to figure out that this was a movie set where they had these things. You know,
I want to know, in an era when they would spend $800 on a lug wrench for the space program, I want to know how much of a bank these guys made off of the CIA sell these tanks to
them. These T-72s.
Because I wouldn't have let them go for cheap. I would have been like, you know, these are in a movie, and, you know, I would have really ramped up the collectability of them.
Yeah. And I know there was a third thing, but I've forgotten what it was. I think I was at my parents' house, and I ran across some old Johnny Carson.
Oh, yeah, Mike. Yeah, I've watched some Johnny Carson during my exile, too.
And we put on, I found the one where Gabe Kaplan, like nobody knew who Gabe Kaplan was. It was before Welcome Back, Kotter.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just a stand-up, right?
Yeah.
And he went out there and did some stand-up and just slayed it. I mean, Johnny was just sitting there laughing his ass off. It was so funny. And of course, you know, the big thing when you're a comedian with Johnny Carson is you want him to, like, wave you over to come and sit down. Like, if he didn't really think you did all that well, you just walk off and you're done. But if he kind of motions you over, you know, like, he liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed Johnny Carson was chain smoking the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
I never noticed that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But the man.
Well, because everybody smoked when you were a kid.
Yeah, true. So it wasn't anything unusual. Mm-mm. But he was just sitting there like, if he was, he was either putting out a cigarette or like lighting one up mm-hmm. the entire time. I thought, wow, I never realized that.
And if you, this is funny. Like, I'll be taking my daughter out to the bus stop, and it's early in the morning, and I can smell a cigarette from a mile away.
Yeah.
And there'll be some guy over on the other side of the complex lighting up. And I'm thinking, how many people smoked to the point where we lost what the smell of a cigarette smelled like?
Yeah, right?
You know?
Speaking of Gabe Kaplan, I think they had him on South Park one time.
I think you're right.
Hey, have you seen any good episodes of South Park lately?
As a matter of fact, I have. Not rehearsed at all. Well, what's funny is when we were getting ready to do the show before my exile, I figured, you know, we're going to start doing, we're going to do like a year-end wrap-up thing. So I thought, well, I'm going to watch South Park. Because I haven't watched it in a couple years. I watch a stray episode here and there. Thought, well, if anybody has their finger on the pulse of what's going on in the world, it's South Park. So I thought, you know, because they're so topical. They can, like, something can happen and 3 days later they have an episode.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, all right, I'm gonna binge watch the first, you know, umpteen episodes of South Park. And that way I'll be up to speed. Well, if you ever want to know just how shitty a year is, watch South Park. Binge watch South Park. I got about 3 episodes in and had to stop. I'm like, there's not enough Xanax and booze in the world for this much negative energy to come in at one time. It's like, it's one of those things where, like, you know, you're laughing through the first 2 episodes. The 3rd episode, you're just like, fuck. I had to stop. So that was...
What was going on that was so bad?
Oh, it was, they were doing this whole thing with, where, you know, the president and Kim Jong-un were tweeting each other.
Yeah.
And Tweak thought for sure the bombs were going to fall on his house. And apparently Tweak is gay. I didn't know this till this year. But yeah, his boyfriend His boyfriend was trying to tell him just, and the whole thing was about put the phone down, which is ironic because shortly thereafter I lost all contact in social media. their whole joke was put, every time somebody was on the phone, they would like run over a child. And they're like, put the phone down, our babies are dying. Put the phone down, our babies are dying. And I'm like, okay, I get what they're doing there. And then I don't know, by the 3rd episode, I'm just like, this episode is not helping my manic depression. So I had to stop after like episode 3. But
usually, so I'm in the same boat. Like, I've caught a stray episode here or there over the years. I watched a couple over the holidays. I think I watched a couple episodes just because like, I don't know what else to watch. But
right,
it still seems like it's the same South Park as it was when I used to watch every week.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, they take whatever the topic of the day is. And I mean, by the day, I mean the day, right?
Literally. Somehow.
I think it's all those Koreans over there animating. They're just fast. Koreans can draw fast.
That's right.
So they'll take whatever the thing of the day is, get it, turn it into an allegory or a parody or analogy, and get everything all worked up. But then in the end, it all gets resolved, and the boys have this wisdom that they lay down, which tells you, yeah, I mean, you know, everybody's up in arms about this thing, but everybody is wrong and just settle down, right?
Well, one of the things I had messaged you about was like, what is it about South Park that they're not even remotely disguising what they're trying to say? They're being blatant about it, but yet somehow it's hysterical.
Here's what I'll give you an answer, which is absolutely 100% wrong, but well, maybe 80% wrong. But here's how I look at it, based on my recent mindset.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's funny because, you know, historians like to say, okay, historians always say that the people living through the times that we study mm-hmm. had no idea what was going on, right?
Yeah.
The, you know, people who are living through Henry VIII totally, you know, changing the way England's church works, mm-hmm. you know, and all that stuff, mm-hmm. and changing the monarchy and everything. The people living through it, they didn't know what was going on. Even Henry VIII, he didn't really know if everything was going to work out, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes I try to think, and I hear historians on podcasts talking about, well, what are people 100, 500 years from now, when they look back on our time, how are they going to look at it? Right.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I've thought about is humans in our society are more engaged in the whole process of history than they've ever been. Mm-hmm. As we were saying earlier, in the past, just a handful of people really had any influence. The people who are out toiling in the fields really had no influence. Mm-hmm. Right. They were just cogs in a wheel.
Yep.
But now, like, everybody's engaged.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think we're all under some kind of spell. I think that the elite or the Illuminati or the patricians or the oligarchy or whoever the hell is in charge
mm-hmm.
have figured out, and I don't think it's like a puppet master thing where they know exactly how it all works. I just think circumstances have gotten us to the point where we're all in a trance and we all think we know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And we think that if we could just get this guy out of the White House, or if we could just get these people to stop thinking that way, or if they could just understand where I'm coming from, or if they didn't have all the fake news and they had the facts like I do, they would get it. I think we're all in a trance. And we're uh-huh. thinking those things. And I think what South Park does is, by taking it out of the realm of Fox News or CNN or Rachel Maddow or Donald Trump, and putting it on a poorly drawn cartoon mm-hmm. with little kids, you know,
mm-hmm.
being smarter than their parents, they can be as literal as they want,
mm-hmm.
but it's still a poorly drawn cartoon with, you know, stupid music and dumb parents. And when they do it that way, it sort of like lifts the trance for a second.
Yeah.
And when that happens, I think the human emotion just kind of, humor is one of those things that when you're shown the blind truth, like just the raw truth of something,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you're either going to cry or laugh.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah. I think that's what's going on. That's what I think anyway. But it's weird because, you know, one of the things that has helped me in my recovery, as everyone knows, I used to be, I still am an addict. Once you're an addict, you're always an addict. So I couldn't,
that's,
you know.
That's what they want you to believe.
That's right. That's right. So I'm a recovering political debater.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve. And, one of the things that's helped me in my recovery is this show. Because mm-hmm. even though we've stopped talking about politics, I still feel like at least once a week, I get to talk a lot about stuff, right?
Yeah.
But it's helped. It's helped me not do that. So you going into exile caused me to get into a couple of political things. Now... Yeah, I've developed my skill at recognizing when, you know, when I want that drink, you know, I have my little tricks of keeping me from having the drink or having the second drink. But it's caused me, like, getting back into it just a little bit. Like, I dipped my toe in it just a little bit. Mm. And it immediately reminded me why it's a bad idea to get back in, like, to jump in.
Right.
And it's that everybody's in this trance.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be, I used to look forward to, boy, you know, when I'm the old wise person and I'm able to look at the youth of the nation and go, look, I've lived through multiple cycles of this.
Mm-hmm.
What you're saying right now, change the names, change the topics only slightly, is exactly what people were saying 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, I can't wait to get to that point, because they're all going to be sitting. I'm going to be sitting on a rock, and there'll be a little, you know, bonfire in the background, and all the kids will be gathered around me.
Suddenly, you're Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. And they'll be looking up. They'll all be sitting crisscross applesauce. And they'll be looking up at me, and I'll just be vomiting wisdom all over these kids.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't turn out that way.
I don't think it ever does.
To the point where one person who's actually not a kid, this person's near my age, was going, for some reason I decided to post something about immigration.
Yeah, you know, I read that.
Why the hell would I do that? Yeah. And somebody's like, well, the president, you know, is just enforcing the law, and he wants to get it fixed, but Congress won't. Congress is standing in the way, and it's the Democrats who are. I'm going, have we really can't think more than 2 years into the past? Did we not hear like the Democrats saying that Obama was trying to fix it, but the Republicans were standing in his way? Is that we didn't hear that? I mean, I would have much more interest in having a discussion where a person says, okay, we want to fix it this way, and it mm-hmm. has to be this way for this reason, other than saying, well, the tactic that they're using is just wrong, when it's the tactic that you were using 3 years ago. But here again is where learning about history can calm your fears. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pure coincidence that this happened. 2 days ago, I was listening to a podcast. One guy was interviewing one Daniela Bellelli, who does History on Fire, was interviewing Mark Duncan, who does A History of Rome. He used to do A History of Rome, and now he does this one called Revolutions. Uh-huh. And he was talking about things that led up to the end of the Roman Republic.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things was, and it was a bunch of things. It wasn't any one thing. It especially wasn't like moral decline, like some people would like to.
or the text, what the textbooks will tell you.
Right, right. But he said, you know, one of the things that started happening is people started, well, and this is a truth throughout human history, but the Roman Republic happened to be good at continuing in spite of this for a long time, mm-hmm. but eventually it started to creep in, which is people in charge generally just what their interest is staying in charge and getting more power.
Right.
Okay? It sounds cliche, it sounds tinfoil hat, but if you look at it, it's true. And it happened toward the end of the Roman Republic, which is, and they have examples of it. This one Roman senator he introduced this bill, and mm-hmm. he argued vehemently for it, and it didn't pass. Okay. So 2 or 3 years later, one of his political opponents introduced essentially the same bill.
Mm-hmm.
And he was up in arms saying, this is horrible. It's a horrible bill. There's no way we can pass this. And the idea being, it doesn't matter what the bill is. He mm-hmm. can't allow his opponent to pass good legislation
right.
that will help the people
right.
because that'll threaten his power. And and the two guys are talking, and they're like, wow, that's not any different from what we're having now.
No, it is not.
So you could take it as, oh, that was toward the end of the Roman Republic, and oh, man, Steve's saying that we're in big trouble. No, what I'm saying is take it as a good thing, because it's basically saying what we're seeing now is no different than what has happened over and over and over throughout history.
Right.
Right. And by the way, when that kind of was going on in Rome, it was another 100 years before the Republic turned into an empire.
Right. But you got to understand, in high school and elementary school and middle school and junior high, we had to fast track that 100 years because we had to hurry up and get to America.
Right.
So
it's interesting. This guy, Daniele Bellelli, is Italian and grew up in Italy. And so he was talking to this guy that did this History of Rome podcast. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, I hated Roman history when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Well, why did you hate Roman history? It's so interesting. He said, because it was drilled into us all the time. Like when we were kindergartners, we got one version. When we were in fourth grade, we got another version of the same stuff. In high school, the same stuff, different. So, and the other guy who was American, he's like, oh, it's like us with the founding fathers.
It's exactly like that.
And these guys say the reason they started these podcasts is because the way that history is taught in our schools just turns people against history. Like, so boring, so dry. Why do I care about the dates that all these dead people did stuff, right? When the stories are so compelling and you start to realize that humans basically haven't changed.
No. And it's a cliche, but I learned more about history after I graduated than I did my entire school career.
No doubt.
Because I found all these different books at the library and all these different documentaries, as opposed to the same. We learned history the same way we learned, like say, our multiplication tables.
Yeah.
Which is
rote memorization.
La, 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 la. Now, my kids, you know, they learned, for instance, the way they've learned their multiplication tables. I'm like thinking, they've got, if they would have had half these tools when we were kids, math wouldn't be this big scary thing. You know, women might get math.
I don't know about that. I mean, it's math.
That's true. It is math. It's math. Like, but numbers. You know, there was, I think it was the writer David Drake, I think it was, said that he had a professor who told him that if you really want to know how history was, find anything you can written by people from that period.
The sources, yep.
Yes, yeah. And it's true. And the my experience with history is like, you know, the great plays. Because if you're going to sit here and you're going to tell me about all these, you're going to give me dates and times and shit like that, I'm going to fall asleep. But if you're going to give me the drama behind it, I'm going to remember that. It's like when you're entertained, you actually learn.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Well, something in the human brain, we evolved. Well, if you think about it, for millions of years, I don't know how many millions, that's how knowledge was passed down from one generation to the next, through stories.
Yeah.
So the human brain has developed to the point of we learn through story.
Yeah. Yep.
Until the 20th century. Well, we could have a whole, I mean, I think we did when we first started, had a whole show on the state of education.
Yeah, we did. We had a couple shows. One, because I know this because in preparation for tonight, I went back and listened to like the first year of our show. Oh, and God. Yeah, we talked about that kind of stuff a lot. No, it was eye opening from a producer's standpoint, because it's like as an artist I can't look at stuff that I drew 30 years ago because I'll pick it apart.
Yeah.
But if I look at it and I go, all right, just that's where you were at that time in your life, then yeah. I can analyze it a little better. Well, I did the same thing with the show, and you know, I don't think we did that bad for a week. For a show, we ground out every single week, and we're making it up as we went along. I don't think we did that bad.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
I think one of the funny things about being creative is there's no basketball player who ever said, like and now this probably happens actually, where people are filmed from the moment they pick up a basketball until they make it into the NBA, right?
Right.
Nobody says, oh my God, I can't even watch those videos of me when I was five. Just look at the way I dribble, the way I shoot. I could barely even get it to the rim. It's so embarrassing. Like, nobody says that, because everybody realizes when you start out, you're not good. Or if I decided, like, now to take up the oboe, I wouldn't, you know, 10 years from now go, oh, my God, you should have seen me the first 3 days I was playing the oboe. It was so bad. Oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed. No, you're not embarrassed, because you just started, and it takes practice. It takes repetitions. But for some reason on creative stuff like drawing or podcasting or whatever, we all got to go, oh, man, I'm so embarrassed by it. Oh, but that's part of the process. You got to put out crap, you know.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
So during the break, my girls really wanted to go see Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to see it too, of course. The funny thing is we ran into somebody. It was not somebody we knew. Just somehow somebody was asking my daughter if she was having fun in Michigan or whatever. Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, we're having fun. And later on, we're going to go see Star Wars.
Was this your older daughter or a younger daughter?
Yeah. My now 13-year-old.
Welcome to the jungle.
Anyway. So she's like, yeah, we're going to go see Star Wars. Oh, do you like Star Wars? Yeah. It's like, I probably won't understand it, though. Oh, why? She's like, well, I didn't understand the other one we saw, which was, this was their third one. They saw Force Awakens and Rogue One. It's like.
You still haven't got them to see the originals yet?
Well, I've been, the price has finally come down. You can now rent it from Amazon for like $3 or something. Before you could only buy them, and you had to buy all of them for
$100. Those are the modified versions. Those aren't the originals.
Which leads me into I'm not going to give away any spoilers, but here's my take on Star Wars.
It's been a month, dude. I think spoilers can, you know, as we've talked about, that's on you. It's been a month.
But you haven't seen it
yet? No, I have not seen it, but I know enough about it, and I plan on watching it in a couple of days. So,
okay. There's only like one or two huge spoilers that would ruin anything for anybody anyway. Mm-hmm. So, and those to me aren't. So, I enjoy sci-fi. The show's called Don't Panic, right? Based on a science fiction book.
That's right.
Okay? I enjoy fantasy. I read The Lord of the Rings, you know, quadruply or whatever, however many books it is. I've read them probably a half a dozen times. Okay, love them. I love space. I like the Star Trek reboot.
Oh, dude, have you seen the last one?
The one with the big fake planet, like the space station.
Yes.
Thing with all the little birds that run around and kill you.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that one.
Dude, when the Beastie Boys came on, I lost my shit. Is this classical?
Yeah. All right. So, but I'm not, I guess I'm not like a diehard, total, complete geeky, nerdy, whatever mm-hmm. about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are coming down hard on this movie,
mm-hmm.
this Last Jedi movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mainly, of course, the purists, right? Who actually liked Force Awakens, from what I gather.
Right.
So I couldn't figure it out. Get out of the movie. I'm like, oh, it was a good movie. I liked it. It was very Star Wars-y,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And it was lots of action. It stood on its own, I thought. Lots of compelling drama, right? Character development, all of that stuff.
Right.
And I couldn't figure it out. So, of course, I posted on Facebook, what's the deal?
I think I replied, save it for the show.
Yeah, I think so. So the responses, I'm no less confused than I was before I got those responses. Now, it was helpful because once they started pointing stuff out, I thought, well, you know, you raised some good points, right? Those things were, I mean, if you really think about them, those were a little flimsy, okay?
Mm.
But then that's why I posted my sarcastic sort of tongue firmly placed in cheek. You know, here are the things that confuse me about Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Because the things that people picked on about The Last Jedi, mm-hmm. I thought, well, hell, if you didn't like that about The Last Jedi, why do you like any of the Star Wars movies? Because nothing makes sense mm-hmm. in Star Wars, okay? If you don't walk into Star Wars going, I'm going to completely suspend my belief.
Right.
Reality, what are they saying? No, I'm going to totally buy into whatever universe this is. Mm-hmm. Right? If you're not walking in with that, you're screwed, right? So how did... I still don't get... And once you've seen it, maybe we can talk about the details. I still don't get it. Like, people were complaining about... There's one major character that ends up getting killed, and they're like, well, why was that so easy?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Did you not see Darth Vader get killed in the... You know, and
or Obi-Wan Kenobi, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, right.
Well, I'll make you a deal. I'll make sure that I've seen it between now and next week, and
okay.
we can do an addition to that.
So just yeah, let's do it when we have a little more time, because I'm really curious and interested in. I have my theory, and it's not a very flattering theory for diehard fans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it is that once in a while you have to not like something to prove. It's sort of like we said earlier about your you hate your apartment manager, but mm-hmm. you were defending her.
All right.
Which, you know, it increases your credibility. The next time you hate on her, people aren't going to just go, oh, you're just saying that because right. you hate her. Because you could go, oh, look, no, because I said, you know, I was defending her last week.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the diehard Star Wars people can go, oh, I love that movie. Oh, you're just saying that because you like Star Wars. No, look, I said that Last Jedi sucked.
Right.
Like, if you are okay with a weapon, like now I'm talking about Force Awakens. If you're okay with a weapon, all right, that is built into a planet that revolves around a sun that it sucks all the energy out of, in order to function, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Without going, well, that's a one-time use weapon. I mean, how do you, now what? You just sucked all the energy out of the sun that you were orbiting around.
It's like the universe's biggest muzzle loader. Once it's shot, it's wide.
Yeah,
what do you do?
It'd be like if a muzzle loader then just spun out of control once you shot it, right? Because now there's no sun for you to orbit around. Right. And not only are you okay with that, but you're okay with the people standing there many, many hundreds of light years away mm-hmm. from the target are able to see the target being destroyed.
Right.
Somehow. And somehow the weapon is able to fire way faster, like hundreds of times faster than the speed of light.
Yeah.
I'm okay with all that because it's a movie that I walk into going, right, there's going to be shit here that doesn't happen in reality.
Yeah. Okay?
If you're okay with that, why are you bothered if Rey doesn't spend enough time with Luke training? Mm-hmm. Like you're complaining that she left too abruptly, right? That was one of the complaints. Like she didn't stay and train with Luke long enough.
When Rey leaves Luke Skywalker,
yeah,
she can come to my house for training anytime she wants. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Sorry, I don't know if you paid attention, but you're not the right... how should I put this without being offensive? You're a little bit underdone. Like, you're a little bit too rare. Like, she prefers more well done.
Wait, but it's on the inside that counts.
Not with men. No. No, with men, it's what's on the outside.
Okay.
With women, it's the inside. But with men, no, it's on the outside. She likes that dude that looks like, what's his name? Michael Shea.
Oh, I thought Saturday Night Live. Okay. Well, I will definitely check it out next week. By next week, so we can talk about
Although, he's kind of into that chubby Asian chick now. So there's kind of a little triangle going on.
So he's Dave Chappelle. He's...
Yeah.
What a top.
Tell me about Black Lightning.
Where to begin?
We talked about it when is it the WB? No, the CW.
CW.
When they first greenlighted it. Greenlit it. Yeah, Tony. Yeah. We were talking about Tony Isabella and how this was a huge break, maybe.
Well, for a man that's toiled in the fields almost as long as I have been alive, this is a pretty good break for him.
Okay.
And this week was the first episode of the Black Lightning series on the CW. And when... One thing people don't know about me is when I go into... I am not a purist when it comes to comics turned into movies and TV shows.
Oh, no. No. I am Everybody knows that about you.
I am... But I am also hypercritical when it comes to characters that I really, really like. And it's not a matter of, well... By hypercritical, it has to be exactly like the comic. No. What I'm saying is, this is the comic medium. This is the film and TV medium. Mm-hmm. There are things... Truman... it escapes me right now, but Truman Capote had a great quote on what comics were and how basically translated it into, in a comic book, you can have whatever the fuck you want happen and the reader goes, okay, and turns the page. You know, we've bought into that. Mm-hmm. But when you have to translate that into TV and movies, you have to ground it for the uninitiated, the people that don't know how comic worlds work. So my hypercritical goes, just don't fuck it up. Do what you want. Take your liberties with it. Just don't fuck it up. Okay? Yeah. Now, the CW is notorious for fucking it up. Just the same way that Netflix is with a lot of the Marvel series is for me. Except for... Because Marvel's had Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Jessica Jones, Daredevil, Luke Cage... Punisher, Iron Fist, The Defenders, all these. Out of all of them, the only ones they haven't fucked up has been Luke Cage. Well, along comes Black Lightning. Black Lightning is one of my absolute favorite characters of all time. He was created back in, I think, about 72 or 73, somewhere in that ballpark. And Tony Isabella, his creator... is one of the reasons why I do what I do in comics now. The stuff he came up with, the stories he wrote, had huge impacts on me. So there's all this heavy pressure on this one show. this, you know. So I should just hate it regardless of what they do. So I'm hypercritical about it. You know, like I said, you can get away from the source material, just don't fuck it up.
Yeah.
Episode 1 came out yesterday. I have watched it 3 times. They absolutely nailed it. I mean, nailed the character, nailed the environment he's in, just well-defined characters, everything about this story. There's differences between the TV show and the comic. As I was explaining to my son when we were watching it, some of the things they point out, like, for instance, you know, Black Lightning in the comic is a teacher, but in the series they make him principal of the school. The series takes place in Cleveland, Ohio. In the TV show, they made up a city so that they can do what they want with the politics of the city. Plus, who the fuck would watch a show about Cleveland, Ohio?
Cleveland rocks.
Just ask Drew Carey. Rotten Tomatoes gave it 100%. That speaks volumes right there. Because I think, what was the one we talked about on the last show? They gave it a 98%, which is like the highest they've ever given anything. They gave Black Lightning's first episode 100%. That's pretty impressive. The story, I mean, it's a pilot. It lays out the groundwork for the entire series. Now, the CW is infamous for dragging out storylines, particularly what they've done in Arrow and Flash. They will drag out a storyline to the point where you don't even remember what the plot is. There's a lot of talking and a lot of stuff, crap like that, to save on the cost of special effects. Plus, now, what Netflix and Marvel does wrong on Netflix is they take the heroes out of the costumes. In the CW shows, they pretty much make it where, you know, they have the characters in the costumes. They're not afraid to put you in costumes because, one, if you put a guy in a costume and you put a mask on him, the audience can't tell if it's the stuntman or not. You know, it's pretty simple.
Good point.
I don't know how much to say about the pilot, because, like I said, it just came out yesterday. I don't want to spoil it for anybody. The one thing that I think is going to be interesting is, now, when Luke Cage come out, which, by the way, if you haven't seen that, you owe it to yourself. One of the few things that Netflix does right with a lot of their Marvel shows is they make them like Stranger Things. They make them a short season, so you don't get a whole lot of fluff. I think Luke Cage was like 13 episodes, and out of the entire series, maybe 3 of them were fluff. The rest of them were integral to the plot of the story. And it builds and builds and builds, and then has a great finale. One of the things that people, how should we describe them as? By people, I mean scared old white people who watch Fox News. Their complaint about Luke Cage, now mind you, Luke Cage is a black superhero who lives in one of the shittiest neighborhoods in New York. Their complaint was Luke Cage was too black. I see the same complaint coming from those same people about Black Lightning. I've seen it 3 times now. One of the times I watched it with a friend of mine who happens to be black. So it was interesting getting his perspective on, like, how white people perceive black people. It was really, it was eye-opening and hysterical at the same time.
So it's called Black Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
Is it
Is it called Black Lightning because they make a point? Was Tony intending to make a point about him being black?
Yes.
Or is it? Okay.
There's a mild bit of contention as to who the first black superhero was. And Tony with Black Lightning versus... Okay, there's three of them. The three major black superheroes during that era were Luke Cage, Black Panther, and Black Lightning. As far as who came first, the jury is still out. All Tony wanted to do when Tony got the green light to do a black superhero, and Tony's white, by the way. He's as white as you and me. He got the opportunity to make a black superhero. He wanted to make a black superhero who was not a stereotype. So he spent a lot of time developing this character before he even got his powers. So whether Black Lightning came first, Luke Cage came first, Black Panther, who the hell ever, Isabella's Black Lightning holds the record as being the because at that point in comic history, black characters were routinely stereotypes. They were either like from the streets and they got their help from the white man and became a superhero, or they were, in the case of Black Panther, they were some African prince who had, you know, came over here and became this character. Black Lightning's character, when Isabella created him, he's like, he wanted a guy who, before he even got his powers, he could have been a superhero. He was well educated. He was an Olympic athlete. He had all the, he was a martial arts expert. He was all these things. He could have been anything. But then a thing happens and he gets these powers, and then another thing happens and he turns to being a crime fighter. So for that, he is, whether he's the first or not, he's the most well-rounded.
Yeah.
And another thing, Tony is a devout, I don't know if you can use that word, he's a staunch atheist. He wanted Black Lightning to be a religious character. And even though there have been religious characters, there had never been characters who actually went to church. And he made sure in his stories that his moral and ethical and religious beliefs appeared in the pages of his comics. So it was from the get-go. And once again, some of our younger listeners don't realize how... Okay, 1973, 74. All you know is what you've read. It was a different world back then.
We lived through it, man. Mm-hmm. I mean... I remember when we came back from NAMM.
Oh, man. Don't get me started on the NAMM.
Over in NAMM, I mean, black, white, it didn't matter. As long as you could, you know, fire your M14, we didn't care.
That's right.
We get back to the world. Next thing you know, we can't hang out with our buddy at the local soda fountain because he's not allowed to sit at the lunch counter.
Assuming he even has all of his limbs and can be in the soda fountain.
Well, the ones that did have all their limbs were freaking out all the time. I mean, a car would backfire on the street, which happened all the time. like all the time. And a car would backfire on the street and he would just start yelling, you know, Charlie's in the bush, whatever. You know, sucked.
Can a hybrid actually backfire? Okay, so how about this? You'll have two episodes by next week.
All right.
You watch the Black Lightning episodes, I'll watch the Star Wars episodes, and we'll do a Star Wars Black Lightning Tits and Dragons episode next week.
All right. I love it. Give the people what they want.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
All right. Well, I think we've probably covered a lot of ground
mm-hmm.
between here and there.
Making up for lost time.
So we promise you, next week and the following weeks, we're going to work on the professionalism of the introduction, which we think is pretty good already.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're going to tweak it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna continue to bring you what you're used to, which is a new show every week.
Mm-hmm.
And next week we're gonna do Star Wars and Black Lightning and Tits and Dragons.
And if we can't bring you an episode every week, don't panic.
For Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson, and nothing you just heard was true.
Take out that garbage.